It's Saturday morning, and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. A beautiful Saturday morning. Tigers get a win last night. They improved to 4-0 on the season with a 41-6 win over Memphis East. Jacob Saunders stole the show last night with four touchdowns, over a couple of hundred yards rushing, and what a night by him. Wasn't always perfect, but good enough to get a big win and complete the four-game homestand to start the 2023 season. It was go-go last night at Jim Carroll Stadium, a special night for the fans, the students, and the Bell family. And Chris was up with me at halftime, and they've reached a combined with T-shirt sales and Team Aaron and the stuff that they do, over 400 grand since the inception of this great cause. And so, you know, we thank Chris and Christy for all they do, and what a special night. Gold everywhere last night. And September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, so you can still donate if you would like. You can get a hold of Team Aaron or get a hold of Chris or Christy Bell. And if you'd like to throw a little money their way to help St. Jude, that'd be greatly appreciated. Coming up here in just a few, Coach Matthew Smith will be in. He'll join us, and we'll talk about last night's win. We'll get you set for our first road game as the Tigers will go on the road and get back in region play next week. Also, we'll have the SEC schedule, a look around our region, get some scores and all that coming your way here in just a few minutes. I'd like to give a special shout-out to Randy Bowling. Bowman last night, he sent me a Facebook message during the game. He wanted to let everybody know he was listening in Kentucky. We were talking about some of the people that were listening around the country, not only just here in Hardin County, but Bowman, great basketball player. Man, he could shoot the eyes out of basketball in his day.
He could. And as good a guy as he was basketball.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I ain't seen Bowman in a while. Last time I seen him, I don't know if he can jump, but I guarantee you he can still shoot it. So he was a special player here, but he listens every Friday night and Saturday morning. So, Bowman in Kentucky, appreciate you tuning in to that. And we got a lot coming up. But Kirk, last night, a really good game, you know, a typical type game like that where you have great moments. You have maybe a couple of series or two where you get a head scratcher and then, you know, but never was any stress.
No, and it was it kind of worries me because, like, last night we were kind of cutting up more than usual. You know, as we were doing the broadcast, it was pretty obvious that we're going to win the game. They've looked good every Friday night so far, and it scares me a little because your expectations are that was kind of expected before the game started. You know, you kind of get lulled into the fun of winning, man, kind of take it for granted. And that's what they talk about, trap games, you know, and getting caught in a team that's winning. And how, well, kind of like Georgia last year when they went to Missouri, and, you know, Missouri didn't have near the team, and there they were neck and neck, you know, in that game against Missouri. And I think it's just human nature. You get kind of lulled when you having so much success, and it looks as easy as it does, as they've made it look these first four games. So I don't think Coach Smith, though, is going to – he's going to remind them if they get into a little overconfident.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of coaching points they could point out last night, not speaking for him. But kids are impressionable, and they hear things, and, you know, the crowd and moms and dads, you know, talking about – you know, this game, you know, this team had one game, you know, all this stuff that goes on.
Right. And like last night, you could see there was a lot more conversation in the crowd, you know, between spectators and fans. It was just kind of almost like a picnic.
Yeah, social event.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to get caught up in that. But it's, like I said, you can't hardly help it when you've had the kind of success in the way they were scoring last night.
Well, some of the stuff was I was having a rough start last night, and I called the pregame show at the beginning, the halftime show. I didn't have us in halftime, and I think one time I said the Lady Tigers had the ball at the 40. I mean, I had a rough night, but I'd been gone all week. My timing was off. I was somewhere where we were hour ahead, so I was screwed up there. I get home late Thursday night, wake up, and I'm screwed up. I'm still on an hour ahead, and you know, I'm saying Tennessee plays at 5 when they play at 4 here, you know, that all that kind of stuff.
Well, you're getting older, too. You got a birthday today, I believe.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, today's the day. They tried to get it yesterday. I got a couple of birthday wishes. I said, hang on.
Well, you know, I'm a little older than you are, so just get used to it. You'll make more mistakes.
Yeah, I got tickled at our conversation this morning when you came in. It's usually about, you know, football games going on. We're talking about where we're hurting, can't sleep. You know, that type of stuff. You know, driving to Chattanooga this week, I have to get out of the car about 2.5 hours into it, so I can just walk around a minute, you know, stuff like that.
Well, you know, you said like last night, Stacy looks at you and says, close your mouth. You're driving around with your mouth open.
Yeah, drive around town. Yeah. You got drill coming outside your mouth and breathing hard. Yeah, that's a real thing. And every time I see somebody like that, I go, I'm headed that way right there. So.
It's anyway. Like somebody told me one time, we'll all be like that. All you have to do is live too long.
Yeah, just live too long. That's right. Exactly. Well, Coach Smith has stepped in. We'll talk to him in here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about last night's big win over the Mustangs from Memphis East and also get you set for next week as well. And then I want to get his perspective on what a special night it was at Jim Carroll with Go Gold. All that's coming your way right here on Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, and the WKWX app. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll this morning. Appreciate you tuning in on this beautiful Saturday morning, football Saturday right here on 93.5 FM. As Coast to Coast led things off this morning, giving you a preview of the SEC and the breakdown of Tennessee and Austin Peay coming up right here on 93.5 FM, 4 p.m. kick. So we appreciate you tuning in to that. I wanted to remind everybody, and Chris mentioned this last night, that Steve and Cindy Happy, along with the Pickwick Parrot Heads, are once again organizing the Team Aaron Bell Golf Tournament. This will be a four-man scramble held at Shiloh Falls in Pickwick on the morning of Saturday, October the 7th. Be a lot of fun competitions there, prizes, food, and all the proceeds will go to St. Jude through Team Aaron. If you want to get into the tournament, call the Halfleys or call up there at Shiloh Falls, and they'll give you all the information. That's coming up October the 7th, four-man scramble to help raise money for Team Aaron and St. Jude at Shiloh Falls. So, anyway, if you can be a part of that, go do that. I think I played in that thing last year, I believe, St. Jude tournament. I had a fun afternoon. They had a couple of flights there, a lot of people out there, a lot of fun, a lot of entertaining people out there, too.
Well, I'm sure you were doing your part.
Oh, we were having a big time. Just like that. Matthew, welcome in on this Saturday morning, and the Tigers get a big win last night. It was gold. We'll start off with that. We talked a little bit about that last year, but seemed like everybody that you ran across had a gold shirt on. And then Chris and Christy were up in the booth last night at halftime and telling us a little bit about what they've done so far this year, the amount of money they've raised on the T-shirt sales. Since the inception of this, it was like $138,000, and then the combination with Team Aaron, you know, reaching $400,000 plus going to St. Jude, and he was so appreciative of the community, the students, the players, the coaching staff, and the things that y'all do to allow them to do this on a home game night?
Well, you know, it's one of those nights first that we're just honored to be a part of. And you know, it's always special to for me in particular to come out and look up into the stadium and see all the gold that you know, people are wearing in support of the Bells and raising money for St. Jude and childhood cancer awareness. And you know, I always think our community comes out. And you know, just looking up into the stadium last night, I thought it was as full as it's been all year, and you saw the gold up there. So, you know, again, just honored to get to be a part of it, and, you know, so proud of the way that our community comes out to support that cause and raise money for St. Jude.
Yeah, and it excuse me, it's fun to see the students participate down in the end zone as well, and then out helping form the tee, the balloons that were let go before the game, and all the festivities that goes on. The tailgate party was a great one. The Tiger Walk was really good as well, and so a lot of great things on last night. Had a team coming in here. I think I asked you as you were leaving the team meal, I said, Cassius Vaughn's a coach over there now. If Cassius was playing, would you have scheduled this game? And you said, I don't think we would have paid him to come over here if he was playing that team.
Yeah, of course, Coach Vaughn, I mean, we remember him from years back and him playing over at East and ultimately going on to play at Ole Miss, having a great career, excuse me, there. And then played a while in the NFL, you know, and Dan Williams, whose a name is familiar, is also coaching over there. He's a line coach over there. And you know, Memphis East traditionally been a strong program in the state of Tennessee. They've had some really good teams throughout the years. And you know, opportunity came up to get them on the schedule. And we're searching with you know, the McNairy County School was dropping us, basically, and trying to find and had some familiarity with Memphis East because I'd played them and matched up in the playoffs. And, you know, they had won some games last year on their schedule. And I think they will eventually do a good job and get it turned around because they had a lot of young kids, a lot of young kids that looked really, really good last night physically and being developed. So, it just took them a little time to get it turned around over there. But, again, for us, I mean, we got an opportunity to see fast players again last night and had to play at a high level of speed. And I thought, you know, we managed it pretty good. I thought our linebackers probably played their best game of the year last night in the way that they moved around and were able to tackle the ball.
Well, this before Kurt gets hold of you, this four-game homestand – is a little bit unusual anyway to start a season. You know, typically you'll have maybe one home game go on the road and then have a couple or a couple at home go on the road. We haven't been on the road. We've had two teams out of Memphis and then two really good teams that was squeezed in between them with Giles County and South Gibson. And I'm sure that you're glad that you got out of this four-game thing 4-0.
Well, and certainly, I mean, you know, take two teams out of Memphis that when you schedule them, you feel like maybe your program's a little better than them, but they're definitely going to have athletes that you're going to have to prepare for, and you're going to have to play at a, you know, like I said, a high level of speed in the game, and certainly got those in those two teams. And then you had Giles County, who since our game has won two games in a row now and will be deep run playoff team in 3A, and South Gibson, who, you know, has been pretty good and got Division I players on their team, and you know, we were able to get that win. So, yeah, I mean, certainly our goal is to win each week and try to improve a little bit and get a little better as the season goes on and each week. And you know, I've been pleased with our team thus far.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, because you got to have a little bit of same feeling that we have, north side, south side, Jackson teams, Chester County. I mean, the usual schedule that have been played all these years, and these four first games, we didn't know anything about them. I mean, we just knew their history a little bit and their records. And I know you didn't have as much film in these early games on them. Are you surprised, or just what's your opinion or feel about the team after these first four games that you've really pretty much been highly successful again?
Well, I think we've been able to make improvements in areas each week. And, you know, I'm pleased with the way our kids play with effort and intensity in the game. You know, I think we've been able to bring that, and we're doing some things execution-wise to improve. You know, I thought our our kickoff coverage was much better last night than it has been the previous 3 weeks. And you know, we placed the kick a little better, got the ball on the ground, didn't kick it right to somebody. And I thought our coverage team did a nice job last night. You know, we didn't run past the ball, got the ball to go sideways, made tackles. They didn't have many yards in the return game. So I think we've, you know, been able to make some improvements, but I like the way our team prepares. I like the way our team, you know, we've had a couple of injuries in the offensive line, and guys have stepped up and filled in those positions and done a nice job. You know, defensively, as I said earlier, I thought last night our front has played pretty well throughout the first four ball games. I thought our linebackers probably adjusted to things, you know, slid when they were supposed to slide, did those kind of things, got themselves in position to make plays, played faster last night. So, you know, you're seeing positive things out of our team, and we got to keep the mindset of, you know, keep getting better each and every week. And as y'all mentioned in the opening, the thing that you battle is always is complacency and feeling satisfied, and that's our job to make sure that that doesn't set in. And you know, we're keeping to try to improve each and every week that we play.
All right, let's take a time out. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll get back in more of the game last night. And also coming up, we'll tell you what's ahead for the Tigers as we go on the road for the first time next Friday night. All that's coming your way. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Appreciate you tuning in on a beautiful Saturday morning. A great Saturday for football. A huge slate of SEC games coming up this morning and this afternoon. And me and Kirk will go over those a little bit later on. Right now we're talking Hardin County High School football. The Tigers get a big win. They improved to 4-0. Overall, 1-0 in the region as they defeated Memphis East 41-6. And my question that I wanted to ask you before Kirk gets into the game a little bit is I was listening to sports shows after Tennessee-Virginia game last week, and I'm just using that as an example. Virginia, not very good, new coach and staff. You know, they haven't played they didn't play the last two or three games of their season because of a tragedy last year. And, you know, it's saying, well, this is kind of like they use it like a practice almost, like they want to work on certain aspects of their game, maybe where they feel like they need a little bit of extra emphasis on, I guess, or maybe something that you want to work on that you will use down the road. Not saying, and that's not taking anything away from the teams, But, you know, when you approach a game like last night, do you go in into it just like they're, you know, 5-0 and number one in the state? Or are you going to try to work on some things that you may have seen on film the first three games that y'all really need to try to improve on?
We don't really look at it that way. I mean, we go into the game. And
I knew the answer to that, but I just wanted to ask it.
See, you know, what they're trying to give us, what the defense gives us, and we try to take that. I mean, as far as calling the game or game planning to it, and, you know, defensively, we look at what they try to do. And I will say this about Memphis East. I mean, you saw two tight end to one tight with a 3-by-1 formation to spread doubles, empty quad. I mean, they had multiple sets that they went to, multiple plays. Always, every film that we had on them, they showed something new every week. So they had installed something new that you hadn't seen. Like last night, they ran a lot of buck sweep, which we hadn't seen on film. That was kind of the new play last in the previous game. It was trap, an inside trap play that they'd hit for a touchdown and done some things. So, you know, we knew that there was going to be something new in the game that we would have to adjust on the sideline. But basically we go in the game, you know, trying to prepare our kids the best that we can and then trying to, you know, focus on what they're giving us. And notice they played their safeties deep. They did not get them involved in the run game very much. You know, wanted to try to run the football last night, and we're able to do that successfully.
Well, the reason I said that, I noticed Nolan last night. We talked about this during the kickoff. It seemed like he was working on, you know, angles maybe or certain style of kicks. There was some squib kicks. There was some pooch kicks. There was, you know.
Well, he found the ground last night. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you pooch one, and it's not really high and soft and give your – kickoff team time to get downfield. If it's low and right to somebody that they can just catch and go, they're gonna get it back to the 40. And we've had that happen because last night though, he found those open spots and got the ball on the ground. And like Coach was saying, is that's what we were talking about. How he looked better in that kickoff team than he has in any of the other games. And You're gonna need more of that.
Well, we cut steps down too. You know, we gave him three steps last night, and you know, focus more on placement of the ball than, you know, how deep we could kick it or things of that nature. And I thought that added to the consistency of it, kind of like when you shorten your swing in golf. You know, a little shorter swing and.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, I've heard that about you. You want to take a hack at it, so.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to pay $40 to play golf, you want to
get as far as you can.
Yeah, you want to get every bit of that $40.
That's kind of what we were doing, and we were missing some. We were lost in the woods a little bit.
So. You know, we had a guy tell us one time on our golf trip, he said, why are y'all hitting 5-irons off tee boxes? We didn't come down here to lay up. So we both looked at each other and said, all right, let's hit them long and in the woods.
That's what we did, Dave. Yeah, those I don't know, that game last night was you said something when you came in here, and it's true, and we lost to East when my son Matt was playing. We've talked about this, and there wasn't but about 30 seconds left in the game. We had a lead, and Cassius Vaughn, he takes it about 70 yards. You know, they throw over the top. He makes a catch. And they beat us on last play of the game, basically, is what it amounted to. But we didn't have anybody on the field that could catch him. Last night, you've got guys that can outrun Memphis East guys now. When, you know, I call him the Riddler, when Jacob Saunders gets in that open field, I mean, he creates a breeze when he runs by you. I mean, he can move. And, he really did. He had a big night last night.
He really did. And you know, of course, with him, and you kind of have to have the running back that sees it well, and I think him and Cam really do, to get the zone run schemes where you got flow and get the cutbacks and all those kinds of things. And, you know, the first one that we hit, second play of the game, was an outside zone to the weak side of the formation. He sees it, brings it back past the center on the cut, and once he gets vertical, you know, I think he hit a because they had an angle on him. Safety had an angle on him, and he had a different gear there and got that first one. The one before half, you know, we're too deep to start 2 minutes. So with the time that we got, we're thinking, hey, if we can bust a run, you know, get it out a little closer to midfield, then we'll try to get in 2 minutes and go for it. And didn't on the first play. Didn't on the second, so we're basically contending, running the clock out, and boom, we hit on the third one, you know, to the house.
Great block out there, too. Was that Rose?
Yeah, wide receiver, and again, it was zone to the weak side of the formation. There, we got good fits. You know, I thought Bailey Huggins probably played one of his best games of the year. He was on people, driving people down the field, and had a really good block, but we were hat on hat there, and Jake found it. Rose stayed on his block, and sprung him and got on the sideline and took it to the house right there before half. So that was a big explosive run as well.
Yeah, I mean, Steve couldn't tell who it was who was running that touchdown at first because he was going so fast he couldn't read his number. It was just like a blur going down the sideline.
Yeah, I'll tell you what was you were talking about his vision. I think this was a play that he got down about the five. They had the angle on him, and then it's not like he stopped like dead. Stop, but he just, you could see him catch him out of the corner of his eye. Yeah, he just run and cut right behind him and then went in the end zone.
Well, the other thing about that, too, is the guy that was chasing him, he was fast. Yeah. And Jacob was, he wasn't gaining a lot of ground on the corner that was chasing him. And, I mean, it was going to be a foot race to the goal line. Then safety comes across field and got an angle. But he's running so fast to try to catch him, he can't break down. And Jacob split both of them and cuts it back, and you know, on about the 6 yard line, and just tiptoes in the end zone. Nobody gets a hand on him barely. So I mean, yeah, he was explosive last night. He went over 200 yards, I think. Isn't that
correct? Right at it. I did the stats this morning, so he's right at 200 yards. That's not four touchdowns, I think. And you know, the thing about Jake too, he's an outstanding young man. He's a quiet kid, very polite. You know, all his teammates like him. He's a good teammate. You know, he's good with students in the school. You know, one of the best kids that we got in the high school, and you know, caring for others. And a lot of times you get skilled guys that you know, are really good.
Can't run because their head gets so big.
And sometimes, but Jacob's an outstanding young man, and you know, he works hard, and we're certainly glad to have him in our program.
Well, you're going to get him another year too, right?
Yeah,
he's just a junior. So I mean, that's a promising sign. You know, that was like, for 3 years I thought Adam Harris was a senior. Yeah. And he finally is, you know, this year. But it was, I'd be going, he's just a sophomore. And I was doing that last night, and I was sitting there going, Jacob's just a junior. But that's one thing you can touch on, too, that I wanted to ask you is this, you've said this through the years. I mean, we've been doing this back and forth for a long time. And every time we play a team that, especially games that we've lost against teams, you've always pointed out how many seniors they had on those teams. And those teams that went deep in the playoffs had a lot of seniors. And you've got 20-plus this year. How much of a difference does that make?
Well, we got 23 seniors, and, you know, a lot of those, not all of them, because like Bailey, for instance, he moved in and is a senior this year, but the majority of them have grown up together. We watched them play in the youth football program in the junior high, and they've stayed together. And, you know, I think that's a huge factor in our early success of the year. And, you know, there's some good leaders in the senior class. You know, Adam Harris comes to mind, Wade Van Hoos, Carter, Sam Tanner. You know, they're good leaders. They have a standard about the way that they want practice to go, work to go, and they work hard at it, and they hold each other accountable, and so I think that's a big thing, and it's been a very positive for us in the early part of the year.
Yeah, it's you know, I said it last night. It's almost like they know who each other is with their eyes closed. You know, they're that close, and they play as a unit that way.
I wanted to touch on you know, offense gets a lot of talk, but defensively, we knew what we had up front with Harris leading the charge for us. We had some young linebackers that were back from last year, and then you had to make some changes in the backside, losing a couple of players that you had. Braden Wilkes comes to mind at safety. He sure was an outstanding player for you back there. And you make a switch, and you put Jack on that side of the ball and take Wes and flip him. But defensively, last night, like you said, we were flying around. The linebackers seems to get better and better. But our two ends that we were talking about last night, and the name escapes me right now, but they had great games last night. They played really well on the end.
They did, and I thought I think our defensive ends have made progress all year. You got Carter Durbin, that's a senior there, Owen Roberts, and then Carter Pig actually came in and made a lot of plays last night. He's just a sophomore. We actually moved him from linebacker to defensive end, and he's done a really nice job for us there, and is a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. You know, talk about the safety position. Last year had Braden that did a lot for us, made a lot of checks for us. You know, he graduates. Gabe Beloff, a sophomore last year, junior this year, has come in and kind of been the starter there, and you know, has had some ups and downs early, but I think he's continued to develop and improve each week as his understanding of the game and understanding of what we're trying to do continues to grow, and has had a nice last couple of games for us. I had a bunch of tackles in the South Gibson game, was around the ball a lot, and got us adjusted to a lot of different formations, you know, last night from the, as we mentioned earlier, the two tight ends to the empty sets and that we saw last night. So he has done a good job. Dace Cummings has come on, and he's a senior, has played, but has kind of worked himself into starting role at corner last 2 weeks, and has played really well for us there on that side of the ball. So, you know, a lot of positives, and I think, you know, we're continuing to improve defensively and getting better each week.
Yeah, so I guess what you're saying is when you got a side of the ball where you're trying to replace important pieces, it's just a work in progress as you go. And just noticing the linebackers last night, the improvement that they've made, like you talked about, from last year to this year, it was a young group. And even though I think you got a couple of seniors in that group or one,
we got two seniors in that group on the inside. Now, the outside backers are seniors and played a lot for us, and Sam Tanner and Hayden Tidwell, and they've done a good job all year long. But the inside, like Caleb Franks, he kind of led us in tackles last night, and it was good to see him get involved in the action and being around the ball all night. I thought he had his best game of the year thus far. Yeah. Caleb Goheen is another one, senior this year, played some last year, but played better. And then Parker Gerald, of course, we've been rotating him. He's just a junior and has done a good job for us and continue to improve each week. And then we got Hunter Adams in the game last night, and he was able to make quite a few plays as well.
Caleb Franks was busy last night. Like you said, we called his name out a lot on special teams, on kickoff teams. He made a lot of tackles on the kickoff side of the ball.
He did. Made several there, and like I say, played probably his best game defensively last night.
All right, Tigers get a big win, 41-6 over Memphis East. We'll go on the road next week. We'll talk to Coach Matthew Smith about that. It'll be the first trip out of town and into unfriendly territory. And we'll tell you where we're going and who we'll be playing. That's coming your way next. It's Sports Talk on 93.5 FM.
Got a rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, hey, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I think I'll make me some homemade soup. Feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced, no, I'm just doing all right. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the...
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. And I want to remind you that if you miss any of Sports Talk, you can go to WKWXFM.com, go to our Sports Talk archives. We'll have it up there, hopefully by tomorrow. Give us a couple of days, but we'll have it there. And or you can go back to listen to any of our Sports Talks. And also our live streams are there as well. If you missed a game, you want to go back and see something or a special play, you can get it all right there. We try to do our best to bring it to you. And, of course, on our YouTube channel, Slice 93. Let's take a look at other scores around the region last night. As Crockett County defeated Southside 35-14, Dyer County 49, Chester County 48, South Gibson 41, Christian County, Kentucky 16. Our next opponent, Northside, defeated Lexington 18-17. Our friends on the other side of the river, to our west, Peabody 30, Adamsville 20, Ripley 40, and McNary 13. And that's a look around the region last night. So, Matthew, we head on the road for the first time this season. There's some prep work that you have to do that people don't see. You got to get kids ready. There's a whole different way to handle away games and how to prepare and how to get there and the travel and all that stuff, even though, thank goodness, this may be the furthest that we travel is Northside this year. But against a really good traditional opponent, and they're an opponent that even though when they fell out of our region, the relationship you have with their coach last year and years past, they continue to want to play us. And it's been a good rivalry dating back a long time with Northside.
Well, you know, my whole career really as a player and a coach here, we've always played Northside in or out of the district. I mean, Northside's been on the schedule. And, you know, you'd have to look back at the history books to see, I mean, maybe years we didn't. But, again, from my memory, Northside has been on the schedule and it's been a big rivalry game. It's gone back and forth with the teams that, you know, win. And this year is going to be no different. I mean, their coach Woodrow Lowe has taken over the job over there. He was at Bolivar and went to Lausanne Private School in Memphis and then was at Fayette Ware the last couple of years. But he, a good friend of mine, he's taken over the job at Northside, done an outstanding job in turning them around a little bit after Coach Powell was let go last year and the transition there. So I expect a big-time district game with them next week. They played Lexington last night. It was a one-point game at Lexington. And, you know, scouts come back. I haven't watched a lot of film on them yet, but scouts come back saying they're very athletic. I think they had three big plays in the game that ultimately won them the game. So they can make explosive plays and – you know, we're going to have to do a great job this week in preparation. And this game has a lot of meaning for both teams and future implications as far as playoffs and district championships and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and we talked about it last night. Northside is one of those games that you would think players would be self-motivated. They know. I mean, your players have played them every year. I mean, it's not like they're going up against an unknown, and that's always easier to get up for than some of these other games.
Well, this group, I mean, we've played them on and off in middle school. our senior bunch. I know played them in the when they were in middle school, play them freshman JV games every year, and certainly have played them in varsity games. So, yeah, there's a lot of familiarity with the programs and playing each other. And as I said, you know, they've certainly made improvements to their program over there, and should be a heck of a ball game.
You know, one thing that is looking at these scores each and every week is that our side of the region, we've struggled through the first four games of out of conference or out of region games, and looking at our region in a, as a whole. But you know, Northside's one of those teams too. You're better to catch them early because they just always seem to get better and better and better, and then you start looking at their scores, they end up winning five or six in a row.
Absolutely, and they've done that for, you know, years and years now. And I think, you know, as you said, you look at the last couple games here, they're making improvement each and every week, and had a big win last night versus Lexington.
Anything you do different this week, getting prepared to go on the road for the first time for some of these younger kids that haven't been on the road? I know your seniors, you look for that leadership, but it is kind of an undertaking to get everybody. And, you know, it ain't like being at home where you go eat and go back and kind of lounge around, you know.
Well, just logistically, you know, you have to make some changes there in your schedule and your day. But I think the biggest thing for our players is they have to understand – you know, we've got a great atmosphere at home, and a lot of things that are here that motivate you. And we've talked to them all year about being a competitor, and competitors are motivated internally, and a lot of outside circumstances don't change your convictions to come and play. And that's the thing you got to take with you on the road, and great teams are able to win on the road. And so that'll be a big challenge for us this week as we go through that for the first time. And I'm anxious to see our team take on that challenge this week against Northside.
All right, we'll be over at Jackson Northside next week, airtime 6:30 as usual. You can catch it right here on 93.5 FM. We encourage you to make the trip over there to Jackson, but if you can't, we'll have all the action right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com, the WKWX app, and streaming live on YouTube channel Slice 93. Or you can go to WKWXFM and get the link there. So we'll be at Jackson Northside as we step back into region play. Kickoff time is set for 7 p.m. next Friday. Matthew, congratulations on the win last night. Appreciate you coming by each and every Saturday morning, giving us some insight on the game and what's ahead for the Tigers. As I was watching you and Kurt draw up plays over here, so I'm sure the offensive coordinator over there has got you a play set up.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Triple reverse throwback.
Is that what it is? Yeah, the triple Lundy's or whatever, Lindy or whatever. But anyway,
you know, that was one thing about it was they had that Netflix series quarterback, and they followed Mahomes and Cousins and Mariota and how their seasons went. They had full access, and it was pretty neat, you know, looking at all the insides. And Andy Reid, who coaches Kansas City, he lets players come up with a play, you know, and they'll practice it. And if he thinks it's got merit, he'll put it in the game.
He'll let it go.
And so all these players are, you know, over there drawing up plays, wanting to get their play in a game, you know. And it was I don't know any professional coaches that give their players that much liberty. He did say that he thinks he's used maybe two of them since he's been coaching.
Should we even ask Matthew that question?
So anybody out there listening, if you want to send a play that will work, just send it to Matthew.
Send it here to the station. We'll run it by on Saturday mornings. Hey, before you get out of here real quick, you know, we talked about Hudson playing last week, had an injury, and talked to your dad last night. Hopefully he'll get back maybe mid-season to late season. So, you know, had a terrific catch and just, you know, fell wrong.
Yeah, you know, it was a collarbone deal and then came down on it wrong. But they did surgery pretty quickly, I think Saturday night, and talked to him this week. He's got range of motion back already, and they told him, 3 to 4 weeks. And I hate it because he had had a really good fall camp and had gotten in there where he was going to be a contributor and get in there early in the game. And like you say, had a big catch against Mercer and just came down on it wrong. So we're hoping he gets back soon for him.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look at the SEC schedule before we get out of here. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back with more after this.
Wish that I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hills.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We've got chalkboard session going on over here, and Kirk is trying to convince Matthew of a play over here, and he's not having it. So
we're still in it. Don't interrupt. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I got a show here. Y'all go ahead as Matthew shows you why your play won't work. So there you go. Let's look at some games in the SEC. A 10 a.m. game. Why is it 10 a.m.? I have no idea. Maybe they put it wrong. I don't think so, but I guess who cares, Bo? It's coming up at 10 a.m. It'll be Vandy at Wake Forest. 11 a.m. game, Ball State at Georgia. 2:30, two interesting games. Ole Miss will be at Tulane. Texas A&M at Miami. The 3 p.m. game, Kent State at Arkansas. 6 p.m., the big game, I guess, Texas at Alabama. MTSU at Mizzou. 6:30, Grambling at LSU. McNeese State at Florida. Arizona at Mississippi State. Furman at South Carolina, 9:30. Tonight, Auburn at California. And then a couple other games that you'll have to get a subscription somewhere to watch. 2 p.m. game, Eastern Kentucky at Kentucky. And then our game right here, Austin Peay at Tennessee. Let's go Peay. Let's don't go Peay. And that's going to be on ESPN+. Plus. Kirk, I hate to interrupt you, but we need to talk about this game. Y'all can call each other later or text each other. So,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Oh, man. You get it all right here. See you, Matthew.
You can only learn if you talk to somebody that knows more than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows a lot more than I know.
Yeah, he was showing you why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You're trying to convince him why it would work.
Well, no, he said last night we had a corner that had a deep outside third coverage. And they ran a flag route with their slot. They had trips left. And the middle slot did a deep flag route. And our safety that was on him, or star, let him release. There wasn't anybody there. And their quarterback overthrew him. It was an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
But there wasn't anybody out there. And I told him, I said, how are you going to cover that flag? And he said that his corner is actually got deep outside third, but the corner stayed with the short receiver, the split out by the boundary.
Yeah.
So it was, he said, and I said, next play didn't do that. And he said, exactly.
Yeah.
He said, we reminded him where he was supposed to have been. So, that was what I was asking him about was, and it's so much more detail now than, back when we played.
A lot of moving parts. I mean, the offensively, they do so much. They show, what is it, Bush Jones, you say? Eye candy, so much eye candy. And like you said, I mean, you got to really be sharp to figure out, okay, I see this formation, where do I go?
Well, give you an example.
And you got to talk, too. Everybody's got to talk to each other. You got to communicate.
Well, you know, back in the 70s, we had two secondary calls. It was one or the other. And you didn't change that call after you made it in the huddle, the defensive huddle. And that's before they even lined up. They're in the huddle, we're in the huddle, and you called the defensive secondary, and that was going to be it no matter what they did. If they went unbalanced, if they went, you know, five wide, it didn't matter. We were going to be in that same exact coverage, and which is a lot different. You know, mostly back then it was just two deep zone, and that's the way you play it now. Man, they've got five or six different coverages in the secondary alone, and they're checking out of that. You know, the safety's reading what their formation is and getting people lined up. It's you got to be headier now than we were. All we had to do is see ball, get ball. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like we had talked about Carter coming up and not only calling the play but also calling up front, you know, what he sees. You know, if he needs to check blocking.
Almost every play now is there's an option that you have. You know, you can give it to the running back, and then there is a option there for the quarterback to keep it. If they dive at the running back, quarterback pulls it out, he can run it. And they're reading like defensive end, different reads on different plays, but it's still an option play by the quarterback. So the quarterback's got to say, you know, if he's coming at me, I give it to the running back. If he goes to the running back, I keep it. But he also can throw out of that. He can see, you know, so a lot of times you have three options. You got quarterback, running back, or pass out of it. So, I mean, and it's just constantly, and that blocking scheme changes based on their formation on defense. So, I mean, it's there's a lot of mental aspect to the game.
And complicated now.
And the better are you are prepared mentally, you don't have to think as much about, oh, and do I got this guy or do I got that guy, you know, or what am I supposed to do on this play? And that's what having 20-something seniors on your team, they've been hearing this same terminology and going through it for, you know, 4 years. So it's kind of an advantage having those guys in there.
A couple big games in the SEC. Of course, our game coming up at 4 p.m., but all the talk today is Texas and Alabama and how the SEC last week in the three games where they played equal opponents had struggled.
Yeah, when they played Power Five.
Yeah, they struggled last week and lost all three. You know, you got LSU lost, and who else? I can't think.
Yeah, one that won.
Did we get one out of that?
Tennessee did.
Well, no, they were talking about against –
like top 10, top,
yeah,
top
like
25,
top, yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
Okay.
Kind of struggled in that. But LSU, they're about to have a meltdown. They kind of – and I think in some part they quit in that game last week.
Well,
in the second
I'll
half.
Tell you something else too, though. That quarterback for Florida State, I was trying to think what his name is. Anyway, he's the real deal. He reminded me the way he plays and just kind of is – the way he had, his mentality is kind of like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I mean, he just finds a way to beat you. You know, maybe his play breaks down or something, but he's athletic. And, I mean, he can throw from any position, and he's just kind of a winner.
LSU looks slow on defensively. I don't know what that was. I don't know if they were out of shape. I don't know. And it reminds me of the game I watched, too. Duke and Clemson are having a meltdown there too, as they get manhandled 28-7. Now, they had some opportunities, and they fumbled inside the 10 a couple of times, and things like that happened. But I mean, you know,
you take
that's just part of the game.
You take the turnovers out of the Clemson game, and they probably win it.
Yeah,
but you can't take the
you
turnover.
Can't take them out, and they didn't look real fast. Duke looked faster.
Well, you know, that's a big deal about Dabo not really wanting to embrace the NIL.
The portal.
Yeah,
and the NIL. He doesn't pay for play.
No, he doesn't like that pay for play, and he doesn't like transfer players. And I think his boosters are going to change his mind about a lot of that, because you look at so many, like these quarterbacks that, like Ohio State with Fields, and he transferred from Georgia, right?
Yeah.
And he goes on, just number one pick in the draft, and that's a transfer. You're saying you don't want number one quarterback in the country? So, I mean.
I don't think that's it. I think they paid players. They had too good of players, and they were getting all these five stars. I'm not saying they were cheating. I'm not saying any of that. But to try to lead people go, oh, we weren't involved in any of that back then. I think the problem with that and with Coach Saban was that now everybody else is getting to do what we've been doing, and it equals a playing field. But what Coach Saban did was, and I heard this, it's a good analogy. It's talking about Dabo. He don't want to play that game. Okay, you don't want to get in the portal or play NIL. Even though Coach Saban talked down about it.
Yeah, didn't like it.
He didn't like it at all, but he adapted to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there. Everything out there has got a system that you have to participate in. And the ones that win, and I don't care if it's football or business or whatever, the ones that win are the ones that adapt the fastest and adopt ways to win within that system. You can't just butt your head against the wall while everybody else is making changes. And even though you don't like changes, like Saban, but he sure did jump on the portal stuff.
That'll be a good game tonight. That's at 6 p.m. And then our game real quick. I think Alabama's a 7-point favorite right now. I think it's mainly home field. They want to give Texas a lot of credit.
They got a really good role, you know, and he looked really good and athletic.
Well, they got their quarterback at Texas, and it was a close game. He got hurt last year early in that game. I don't know. I think Texas going on the road. And, I mean, this is a thing that's going to be happening next year anyway. Texas gets in the SEC. Yeah. And
everybody's included.
I think Alabama will have a great home field advantage in this game. I think it'll be close, but we'll see. I think Alabama will win just because they're at home.
Yeah, and they probably won't have any trouble selling out.
Not in this game. That'd be a good game to go to.
They don't have any trouble selling out any game.
And Austin Peay at Tennessee, we beat Virginia last week. Not much of a game there.
Let's go Peay.
And they had I wanted to tell you that. A guy that played for Austin Peay, I think his last name was Zipper. What's the Zipper and Let's Go Pee or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember how it went. Never mind.
We had a Hardin County guy play there, too, that was really good.
Yeah, really good. But another game, Austin Peay, before we head to Florida. I don't think this will be much of a game, but that was kind of what I was talking about with Matthew when you have games like this. I know. Got to talk to John Finlayson yesterday. He was helping Kenneth Gray feed the kids. And while I was up there setting up for the tailgate, John Finlayson played it, you know, Tennessee tight end. Mm-hmm. But
got to brought up.
Yeah, McNary guy. And I was talking to him a little bit about what was going on up there. I said, what do you think? And he said, I really like the direction of what's going on there. And I said, what do you think about Milton? He said, I like him. I know some people worry about him because of the way he is in the pocket. He's kind of flat-footed and things like that. But he can play. We've got really good receivers. We've got really good tailbacks. He was really bragging on tailbacks. Defensive line, defense overall, it's a lot better team speed.
I'll tell you the best thing Milton's got going for him is there's not a player on that team that doesn't think the world of him.
Oh yeah,
I mean he's a team favorite. All those guys, and you got a quarterback that all of them like. They'll play for him.
Well, you know, an interesting thing he said yesterday was we were talking about the Pittsburgh game a couple of years ago when they came in to Neyland. He said, "I know a lot of people saw that and saw the overthrows." But he said, I'm not convinced that our receiving core wasn't very fast. it wasn't that so much he was overthrowing them. We just didn't have a whole lot of speed outside. He said, you put him with the guys that play with him back. I think he, Manning was a senior his freshman year. And then he had Joey Matthews in that area, 97, 98, around in there. And he said, I don't think he could have outthrown those guys. Those guys had another gear. He said, most receivers, fast receivers, they have speed off the line, and then they have another gear to go get the ball.
Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, yeah, Jalen Hyatt. And but that's changed. He was on target. I just want to see him in the Florida game and see how he reacts on the road in a hostile environment. And you can say whatever you want to say about Florida. They've been down, whatever. It's still at the swamp in Florida.
And they still have athletes.
And they still have athletes. That's true. But that game's coming up right here on 93.5 FM this afternoon at 4 p.m. Any final words before we get 4-0 and we're ahead on the road to Northside?
This team's been fun to watch. They've been electric. Quarterback, running backs, receivers, defense better. This is a good football team.
Yep.
And we've played a couple of good football teams, just like he said. It was Giles County won their next two ball games after losing to us, and South Gibson's going to do the same thing. Good football teams. East and Memphis Business Academy, not as good a units, but individuals, you know, out in space, they had to play against that, and they had really good speed. And it's right. I mean, the thing that was fun about last night was we were outrunning at Memphis East players, and we hadn't seen a lot of that in the last 20 years.
No, it's been a while, but that'll get you a scholarship. Ask your son-in-law.
Yeah, that's true.
Outrun the gold shoes.
Yeah, and, outrun the gold shoes. I mean, Sam Shutt, they were, you know, they were recruiting some of Melrose players, and they saw Sam outrun Melrose players.
Yeah. Where's this kid at?
Yeah. Who is this?
Yeah.
So, same kind of thing.
You know, another guy that, and we'll get out of here, we're just rambling around, but another guy that was at the game last night that played with Sam in that area, and I think McKenzie, maybe McKenzie's senior year, was Hunter DeBerry. So, you know, Hunter was a junior, I think, when McKenzie was a senior.
Yeah,
is that right? And you had him on the outside. You had Sam on the outside as a sophomore at that time. You had two guys on the field that are hovering around that 4.3, 4.4 speed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else is I never will forget. I mean, Hunter on defense was on the side away from the play, and the guy breaks loose on the far sideline. He's on the near hash, and the ball's going down the other sideline. And guy breaks loose from around the 30-yard line. They're on 30, and he's gone. And Hunter was running, you know, with an angle, kind of like that guy last night, you know, coming at an angle trying to tackle Saunders. And as DeBerry was running across the field, he was going to get outrun by that guy. And when he got about halfway there, he saw that guy was beating him. And then he went into afterburners.
Yeah.
And, I mean, ran him down about by the 15-yard line, which it looked like it was going to be a goal line play. But, I mean, him and Sam both. And Sam, like on kickoffs, back when he played, Sam doesn't have a lot of twitch muscles. He's not jukey. You know, he's a straight line guy. He's like a track guy. He'd be great to have him in the 200, you know, running track. But he learned what his speed could do. And on those kickoffs, which he was really good kickoff returner, the first two guys that were closing in on him, he knew he had speed to split those two guys. He got to where he didn't even have to think about them making the tackle. So now he's looking at the next level, next wave of guys to pick his route that he wants to run through. So, I mean, one of the reasons he's so successful was he just outran their angles. And It must be nice.
Yeah. I went out running no angles. All right. Appreciate Matthew Smith coming in here today. We'll be on the road next week as we'll head to Northside. Airtime 6:30, kickoff time 7 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM. So enjoy the rest of your football Saturday. Tennessee coming up at 4 p.m. right here on 93.5. And if you got ESPN Plus, you can watch it there, or SEC Plus. You'll have to go search and find it. But you can. You'll just have to pay for it if you don't have it. So that's what's coming up this afternoon. So for Kristen over at the station, for Kirk, Kendall out today. He's on child care. Well, I don't say services. It's his own kid. he's with Graham. Yeah. So anyway, he'll be back next week. And so for Kirk and Coach Smith, I'm Steve Cornell saying have a great Saturday and go Tigers, go Vols. We'll see you next week right here on Sports Talk at 9 a.m.